Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, January 7th. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope your first week back at work wasn't too crazy. This is our first episode of the new year, so we're going to do two things. First, we're going to look back at what we think were the biggest healthcare stories of 2021. And second, we're going to look ahead at what we think will be the biggest healthcare stories of 2022. Gazing into their crystal balls for us today are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
We went the entire month of December in Chicago without having to shovel snow. That's never happened before. And that trend lasted exactly 0 days in 2022 as we got hammered by a major storm and have been in the deep freeze ever since. Winter isn't coming, it's here. So how am I doing? It's good to be back with you and Julie, and I'm just trying to stay warm, man.
And auspicious beginning. Julie, how are you doing?
Well, on the flip side, the snow in Seattle has melted, so I'm pretty happy. And my 13-year-old has a booster on the horizon, and I have yet to catch COVID, so I'm feeling pretty on top of the world.
All right. You're one of about a dozen people across the country, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Good for you.
I'm going to be the last person.
Right. Now, before we look back and look ahead, I wanted to ask you about how much you worked over the holidays. Dave, did you log off and check out for 2 weeks, or were you still checking email?
I tried to be good, but lapsed. I worked most mornings and did a fair amount of writing, plus closed the company's books on 2021. So no rest for me, for the weary or the wicked. You get to choose, Dave.
Yeah, we'll say wicked, right? All right, thanks, Dave. Julie, how about you? Did you unplug in whole or in part over the holidays?
Well, that week leading up to Christmas was crushing, I gotta say. And I only scheduled one official meeting between Christmas and New Year's, but I am sort of the daily check-in type. So do a little here, do a little there. It's not healthy, but it is who I am.
Got it. Yeah. For me, I learned a valuable lesson that I'll try to remember next year. Every work call, meeting, interview, and lunch that I scheduled either a week before Christmas or the week in between Christmas and New Year canceled at the last minute. So I spent a lot of time waiting and then doing nothing. So I won't make that mistake again. So for all you youngsters out there, don't do what I did. Never, ever schedule anything work-related over the holidays. Spend your time relaxing or having fun. So, okay, that's my cranky old guy moment for today. I was going to say for the year, but we know that's not going to happen. So we'll just call it for today. Now let's talk about last year. Dave, when you look back over the past 12 months, what would be your top two or three healthcare stories, events, trends for 2021 and why? And remember, you just have 2 minutes.
I'm going to go off script and discuss yesterday's one-year anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, but promise to get back to healthcare at the end of my remarks. When historians look back in the future on 2021, they will identify the January 6th insurrection as the year's defining event. So I found myself listening to historians yesterday trying to put the events of that day into perspective. The first was Yale historian Timothy Snyder, an expert on authoritarianism and the author of a best-selling book called On Tyranny. And according to Snyder, authoritarian regimes require big lies to take hold in order to assume and maintain power. And these lies lead to violence, which then lead to more lies. And that's essentially what's happened in the United States over the last year or so. The authoritarian playbook also flips the victim and the perpetrator. In this particular case, our former president, who tried to overturn the election results, now claims the other side stole it from him. The big stop the steal lie allows his supporters to justify the loss without having to feel the sting of defeat and without having to justify the reasons for that loss. And it's so much easier to blame the other side than to look internally. It also justifies taking revenge against them. So the Republican Party now lives in a form of alternative reality fed by this big lie. And its main ambition right now is to reinstate the former president into office. And this is what we're living through right now. Alternative reality was also on the mind of noted historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, who has written more best-selling books than I can count. And she recalled the brutal 1856 beating in the Senate chamber of pro-abolitionist Senator Charles Sumner from Massachusetts by pro-slavery representative Preston Brooks from South Carolina with his cane. Sumner almost died. It took him 3 years to return to the Senate. In the South, the press proclaimed Brooks a hero. Citizens bought him new canes by the dozens. Prominent senators wore bits of his broken cane as talisman. In the North, Sumner's beating in the Senate chamber galvanized public opinion, led to the dissolution of the Whig Party, the creation of the Republican Party, and the election of Abraham Lincoln as president. And everything ensued from there. Today, like in the 1850s, we have two competing narratives. Today's narratives are the big lie versus stop the steal. The potential good news from Kearns Goodwin is that the majority believe the election was fair, and that majority only needs to convince 5 to 10% of the other side that the election was not stolen for democracy ultimately to prevail. And this is where I come back to healthcare. There are no alternative realities in the latest West Health Gallup's Healthcare in America report, which came out just last month. 2/3 of American adults of all political stripes think voters have very little or no power to reduce healthcare costs. But 9 out of 10 of them think that American businesses, corporations, and the U.S. Congress do have the power to reduce healthcare costs in America. So my silver lining proposition is that progressive healthcare reform could be a vehicle for bipartisan cooperation that begins to heal our political divide. The alternative to that is almost too scary to contemplate, you know, runaway healthcare costs and a remarkably divided public that ultimately breaks our democracy.
Thank you. A lot of good connections there. Julie, what would top your list of the biggest healthcare stories, events, or trends of 2021 and why? And you have to do it in 2 minutes or less too.
I'm actually really thinking deeply about Dave's connection, and I'm not so sure that healthcare could actually really heal where we are, but that's a whole nother podcast probably. So 2020 was a hard year. I'll say that. The dissolution of Haven and the rise and kind of almost thunderous crash of the SPAC would definitely top my list. Those have been kind of fun and crazy, disappointing highlights of the year. You know, other trends that I think are really important to our future, Medicare Advantage has obviously seen huge growth. We now have like 96% of seniors with access to at least one $0 premium plan and a bunch of other zero premium ACA plans. So Medicare Advantage, I think, will define the next decade in many ways for the industry, but we're already in 2022 starting to see some fragility with what happened to Humana on the markets yesterday. So very interesting space. I also look at some of the explosions we've had in behavioral health and women's health. You know, companies like Lyra and Headspace have clearly become giants, but we have pretty much birthed a company a day in behavioral health. And Clio and Maven have become giants of the same type in women's health, but we've again birthed hundreds of different types of far more personalized and specific women's health companies. So we've really kicked off some, I think, important trends in how we think about health for certain people. And while there's a lot more I could say, Dave, I think this year and what everyone is already talking about with a record number of healthcare IT IPOs is no doubt going to go on record. I think it's amazing to see all the stocks and where they are now. There's a handful of companies that have, you know, stayed above their strike price, including companies like Doximity, Definitive Healthcare, Health Catalyst, of course, Progyny. We're experiencing some serious reality in the IPO market. And a lot of people are predicting that we'll see even more IPOs this year. I don't know if I agree with that, but I do think that we have now arrived as an industry, and 2021 will be that year when people say that that's when that happened. So fascinating that we've arrived.
Great review. A lot of innovation, yet market saturation. Thank you. Dave, anything to add to Julie's list?
Well, I'm just really glad that, Julie, you stayed on script, because that was an excellent list. I'll try to get back on script, Dave, and give you my one major trend for 2021. Mm-hmm. I'm close to finishing up an executive summary of the Massive Health 2021 conference from last October in Boston. We were all there. And one of the things I'm doing in the report is contrasting the 2021 conference content with Health's last in-person conference in 2019, then and now comparison. And the most glaring difference in content between Health 2019 and Health 2021 was health equity. In 2019, there was significant discussion of social determinants of health, but no specific health equity sessions among the conference's 18 content themes. In 2021, two of the 14 content themes explicitly addressed health equity, and almost every session addressed health equity in some form or another. Of course, the reason for this dramatic contrast between 2019 and 2021 is COVID and the devastating toll it's taken on low-income communities in general and Black and Brown communities in particular. We've seen a dramatic decline in life expectancy, shameful barriers to access, and so on. Going forward, health equity will be front and center, as it should be in all health policy discussions. Indeed, CMS has made it the centerpiece of its reform agenda. So to conclude with the obvious, the emergence of health equity as a defining policy issue is my top 2021 news story.
Got it, Dave. Great observation. Thank you. Now let's talk about the next 12 months. Julie, give us your two or three healthcare predictions for 2022. What should be on everyone's radar this year?
Well, as Dwight Eisenhower once said, plans are worthless, but planning is everything. And you know me, I hate predictions, the tough business, because when you're wrong, you're an idiot. And as things evolve, those predictions seem to be a little bit less remarkable. But here we go. So first, I would say healthcare staffing. We not only have an acute problem today with Omicron, but we're building a problem on top of decades of challenges, certainly the nurse space. And we're also setting ourselves up for years of staffing deficits to come. Now, recent studies show that we lost somewhere between 20 and 30% of our workforce over the last couple of years. 35% of nurses surveyed last fall considered leaving their jobs since the pandemic. So I think what we're going to see here is we're going to see hospitals start to try to take control over staffing in new ways. We just saw UPMC establish an in-house staffing agency. Innovators like CareRev, who we work with, are creating Lyft-like marketplaces. I still think that companies like AMN and travel nursing will continue their prowess for a while, but I'm not so sure how long. So healthcare staffing is top of my list. Next, I would say the patient. You know, all of our technology for the last 10 years has been focused on making clinicians and health plans managers and employer benefits and pharma marketing and research teams more efficient. But we seem to have forgotten about the patient. So I think 2022 is the year of the patient, how they select care, how they get more digitally, holistically, conveniently access to care, and how they actually engage with care, perhaps without even realizing it. I think that's sort of been our goal for the long time. Third is back office data infrastructure. You know, in the same breath I talk about patient focus, the last 10 years has also brought us way too many systems. Our hospitals and health plans can no longer manage the data they have across, I mean, literally hundreds of systems. So, you know, I see a rationalization through platforms and interoperability coming fast. And I think that would be built around the patient and other really specific business goals and strategies. So that's good, hopefully. Fourth, I'll say, I think we will see technology leapfrogging. We will see companies that have been solution companies, innovators that have been built on the backs of call centers and offshore staffing be completely leapfrogged by true technologists who dig in and understand healthcare and do it better and faster and cheaper. And we'll either see these older companies die or we'll see these older companies that are now public companies buy the new companies. And that's, of course, how markets evolve. So I think technology is really coming in a big way. I have a lot more, but I want to hear Dave's. Last, I'll say that I think we're going to see massive M&A this year. I'm not a big fan of even more IPOs, but that might happen. But I think we'll see a ton of strategics, you know, in areas where we have multiple players start to roll up together. So care navigation, women's health, behavioral health. That said, I think that we might see some strange bedfellows, like yesterday's announcement about Stryker buying Vocera was a bit of a head scratcher. So we might see some strange combinations.
Good list. Staffing, the patient, back office data infrastructure, advances in technology, and a lot more M&A. Great list. Dave, it's your turn to stick your neck out. What are your two or three big healthcare predictions for 2022 and why?
Yeah, boy, I'm definitely not trying to stick my neck out with how cold it is outside. But the Minnesota Vikings had this running back named Leroy Horde, who once told his coach, if you need 2 yards, I'll get you three. If you need 5 yards, I'll get you three. Julie just gave you five predictions. I'm going to give you three. Okay. So trend number one, digital health tech investment tripled between 2019 and 2021. We've also witnessed the creation of dozens of health tech unicorn companies. Julie mentioned a bunch of them, those with valuations exceeding $1 billion. Investment in health tech, as Julie mentioned, will continue to grow and reshape industry supply-demand dynamics in ways that promote better outcomes, greater efficiency, and consumerism. And kind of building on Julie's last point relating to tech, I think we're going to see companies that develop these omni-channel platforms really emerge in 2022. Oracle's acquisition of Cerner is an example of the type of company that could really come and be the one place where consumers can get what they need. So the death of point solutions and the emergence of omni-channel health tech continuing to redefine the industry in fundamental ways. Trend number one. Trend number two. Big Pharma has finally gone too far with the FDA's approval of Biogen's Aduhelm and its outrageous price tag for such a crappy drug. Government and commercial payers have essentially practiced a form of civil disobedience by not supporting payment for the drug. Aduhelm's very public failure in 2022 will set the stage for progressive drug reform. That's trend number two. As we used to say on Wall Street, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. Big Pharma's in for a tough year. Finally, trend number three, health and well-being companies will continue to receive more funding and will begin to shift allocation of healthcare resources away from treatment and into prevention and health promotion. An example of the type of company I like that's really coming to prominence is Noom, which uses behavioral psychology tools embedded within cool tech at low price points to help individuals embrace healthier lifestyle choices. And they've got tens of millions of users. So I think tech is going to finally begin to make it easier for all of us to lead better, healthier, happier lives. Trend number three.
That's a good list. You're the Leroy Horde of healthcare, Dave. Digital tech investment, drug pricing reform, and prevention and wellness. Great list. Thank you. Julie, what do you think of Dave's list for 2022?
It is a good list. I do have a couple of comments. So Dave and I are completely on the same page about omnichannel health tech platforms. I think when you even look at some of the M&A that's happened in 2021, you're starting to see us put together pieces that create a larger solution and kind of take us away from these feature function companies. And I think I agree with Dave that these are going to be some massive companies, given the Cerner Oracle example. So same page there. And that's good for the industry, frankly, even though it might not be the most innovative step in technology, it probably will be an innovative step in terms of how we think about what we're doing in the industry and the processes through which we do it. Number two on drug pricing reform, Dave and I need to differ here. I think we're just not going to do anything about this. You know, I hope that we have learned something from Adulum, if that's how you pronounce it, but I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of will to do anything about this at the policy level. I think the kind of vaccine situation puts drug companies still a little bit on high. I don't think 2022 is the year, but we'll see. One can hope. And last, preventative. You know, Dave, I totally agree with you. It's exciting to see companies like Calibrate and Noom and others, whether or not they succeed themselves as companies. We're starting to get to this preventative realm. We're starting to really just get to the root causes of things. And even when you look at Medicaid being, I think, a big highlight in 2022, these new Medicaid companies that are almost creating, you know, some are creating like city block lights, honestly, getting to my comment about technology earlier. They're really focusing on the more bespoke services that people need that are related to health, but not necessarily health oriented, right? So we're getting to the root causes of things that are influencing health, and technology is allowing us to do it. Focus on populations are allowing us to do it. in this like massive personalization wave that we're going through is allowing us to do it. So I agree with Dave on that. And I think, you know, something else that allows us to think about this preventative thing is just being able to now accept a more virtual way of thinking about managing your health. It's helpful for people to not feel like they have to go to the doctor. It takes us out of that kind of, oh, something's wrong with me focus.
Got it. What's interesting about that Alzheimer's drug, I think the company cut the price in half, right, a week or two ago. So when nobody wants to buy it, guess what happens? The price drops, right?
Yeah.
That's how the market works. Thanks, Julie.
Half of crappy is still crappy.
Yeah, I guess that's true at a quarter and an eighth, right? So good point. My only prediction for 2022 is that we'll have a lot to talk about on this show each week. Healthcare is the industry that just keeps giving if you're a journalist. So I love it. And speaking of big stories, let's talk about what happened this past week. Julie, what story broke this past week that made you stand up and take notice and why? You mentioned Stryker and what was the company, Vocera?
Vocera.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I missed that yesterday. So that was interesting. Anything else?
Well, I'll say we have another company we work with, Vera Home Health, that merged with Castlight. And of course, Castlight was one of the first companies, really trying to focus on transparency in the space. And this is an example of another basically navigation plus care delivery model. I think in this case, because Vera is so value-based focused, it's a pretty interesting one, but it just goes to, you know, more competition in the space. So that was on my list. And of course, that boosters will be approved for 12 to 15 year olds. Close to my heart.
Great. Hear, hear. Thanks, Julie. Dave, what caught your eye this week and why was it important?
The NYU professor, Scott Galloway, has a chart of the week, and his chart this week really caught my attention. It only takes 45 minutes between the time you click the place your order button on Amazon and the moment the package gets loaded on the truck to come to your doorstep. That includes processing, locating, packing, scanning, and labeling your package before it hits the road, only 45 minutes. Amazon now receives 10 million orders per day, 115 orders per second, and one out of every 153 American workers is an Amazon employee. Since we're making predictions this week, it's hard not to believe that Amazon's muscle won't have a dramatic impact on the healthcare marketplace as it continues to roll out its Amazon Care product line. Big stuff.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. And there's probably a package outside my door right now. Seems to happen every day. Thanks, Dave. For me, it was the No Surprises Act taking effect on January 1st. I think it'll take a while to work out all the bugs, but ultimately, I think it'll be a great asset for consumers as they deal with big medical bills. So anxious to see how that plays out. Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed on today's show, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You also can find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on the Healthcare Now Radio Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming services. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.